you, Lord Jesus. We're going to continue our series right now on question and answers. I think we didn't quite finish how should we respond to the assertion that Muslims and Jews and Christians worship the same God. We're in the middle of that one, right? As a matter of fact, I think we were starting, because we first talked about that God has a son, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Right. And then did we talk about if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We start. We were there. That's where we were, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you got John 8:19?
Yeah.
Okay, what about John 14:7? Yeah. And what about 1 John?
No.
Not yet. Okay, that's where we stopped. Okay, so realize this, that when someone comes to tell you that we all worship the same God, you're being armed with proper information. You're being armed with proper information. And the information you're being armed with is the Word of God.
Amen.
Because the Word of God said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Isaiah 6:9, I believe it is, says, 9:6, one of them, says that unto us a son is given.
Yes.
Child is born. Yeah. Jesus himself said, concerning his own sonship, he affirmed what Simon Peter had said in Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus didn't say, well, no, you have wrongly spoken. No, you've rightly spoken. My Father has empowered you to say what you just said. So yes. Jesus is the Son of God. Secondly, we talked about that if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. Why do we say that? Because there are religions that deny Jesus.
Yeah, that's true.
You follow that? So if you deny Jesus, you can't know God. Because Jesus said, John 8:19, you know neither me nor my Father, if you knew me, you would know my Father what? Also. And we said, is the flip of that true? Meaning if you don't know me, you don't know my Father? Absolutely.
Amen.
John 14:7. This is where we stop. This is the last one, right? 14:7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also.
Amen.
Crystal clear. Flip side of that is if you because you don't know me, you don't know him. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Take your time. You don't know Jesus, you don't know God. You deny Jesus, you deny the Father. And Holy Spirit is not playing any games. Verse 2, 22 of 1 John 2. Who is the liar? Wow, this right off the bat. But the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Well, there you have it. Now, if you go out, Word of Life, and the Lord has you to speak the truth, and you tell that person you are a liar, you're going to be barbecued for that socially. But when you are being barbecued over the flames, you tell them, that's not my choice of words. My Heavenly Father called you a liar. Because in 1 John 2 and 22, he says, who is the liar? This is how you identify a liar. Who? But the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. That's the Mormons. That's the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's Islam. And several others. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Now notice he said at the end of that verse, the Father and the Son. First, the first part says you deny that Jesus is the Christ. But he's saying when you do that, you're denying the Father and the Son. Don't know Jesus, don't know God. Don't know the Son, don't know the Father. Verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. That's crystal clear. And like I told you, if you're speaking to someone, we're not arguing, but God has moved on this particular person, right? This particular person is caught up in Islam, caught up in Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, and things of that nature. But God is in the midst of working that thing out through his word, and he sends them to you. Let us not fail the assignment. And we won't, because God is not going to put you in that assignment and we don't have the information. Yeah, he's not crazy. Because if God has ordained before the foundation of the world, right, eternity past, that when he goes and meets Miss Darlene Caldwell, as you're stepping out of Dietrich Furs, and here comes this person out the blue walking up to you like, hey, I just want to know, boom. God has already set that up. And I go back to Miss April. We just talked about the funeral order of service. I mean, if all things to teach on like an order of, that was really what we would seem in the natural down here on this earth. You know, in the spiritual realm was right on point. But that was weird. But I knew the Lord had moved on me to speak on it. It was just blowing up in my heart. The very next day, who would have thought? Here comes someone at her job, and she's able to give them some information. We don't know when information is coming, who, what, why. Let's get it and have it so that when they come forth. I go back to Sister Lambert, just randomly visiting her dad and whatever, helping out her dad and this, that, and the other. And there was somebody over there talking some things about, you know, black folk and things. And I said, no, let's fix this. Let's give truth. We want to speak truth into the situation. Too often, we hear a conversation going south, meaning that it's not going scriptural. And too often, I'm not saying us in here, but I'm just going to say this. I believe that the majority of Christ's disciples, Christians, too often when they hear a conversation going south, tend to say, well, I ain't got nothing to do with that. And just move on. Go, you know, hey, he crazy. Let me just calm down. When in actuality, I know still being led by the Holy Spirit, we need to, when it goes south, that's actually the time to step in. To correct, just like your situation. You heard it going south. Sister Man said, no, that's not the case. Think about this. Have you ever heard of Lauda Equiano? The one person did, but the other guy sitting there said, yeah, I heard of him. She was able, with knowledge, to bring truth to that situation.
Amen.
And my man bowed down to him. He said, wow, I didn't know. A lot of it is ignorance.
Mm, yes.
A lot of it is just secular humanistic ideals.
Yes.
Just let the Lord, don't run away. You may want to stand there for a minute and hear it going south, but that's not quite the way that is. And in love, you speak the truth.
Amen.
And by the way, speaking the truth in love, thank you, Lord, for this is crystal clear. Does not mean that you will not offend.
Amen.
Now that's some good preaching for us to really take into our hearts and minds. It does not mean you won't offend. You may say it as nice as ever. Mm-hmm. You may be as gentle as ever. But because of it's the truth and it's chopping down and sticking against what they are believing, you may still offend. That's okay.
Yeah.
How many times did Jesus offend people? Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Peter, John, the Revelator. You don't get jailed at 90 years old because they still perceive you a threat at 90 and they stick you on an island. My goodness. You 90, that dude is old. Nope, he got pen and he got words.
Yes.
Power is still coming out.
Amen.
Thank you.
He can still influence the masses. Let's just stick him over an island where nobody can get to him. And all God did was just write Revelation, and we all read it today. They failed. What you meant for evil, come on somebody, God meant it for good.
Oh, yes.
I feel like shouting in my sanctified soul.
Amen.
Can't block God.
No.
I'm going to say this before we move on. You know, that our sister's testimony from North Korea. Was she a North Korean?
Yes.
Our North Korean sister. We heard her testimony last Wednesday. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm going to tell the church this. That my life is bittersweet in a sense, because I'll never be able to glorify you like our North Korean sister. Not to that level. Never will. Not while I'm on this side. I said, for that, I'm a little, you know, blew out by it. But on the other hand, my flesh is happy that I ain't got to go through to get to that level. Glory be to God. So it's kind of, I can talk to my father like that.
Yes.
You know, we get confused and, man, I don't quite get it, but we can talk. He fully know all where I was coming from. So, Lord, I'm kind of blew back because, man, she can give it to you like nobody else.
Yes.
I'm talking about who just us over here in the West. We're really out pampered. And we just don't go nowhere near that level.
Yeah.
I said, Father God, I just thank you that, you know, you take but a little bit we can give, and we do the best. But you know, I'm going to tell you something else. God is pleased to a certain extent. When you walk in with the light of what you do now.
Yeah.
I was just driving here with my sister and my mother saying, we got some great saints, some of the greatest saints that's been around me,
yeah,
who walked in the light of what they knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
But didn't have the Reformed faith was my father, with my Elder Kyer, the pastor, our first pastor.
Yeah.
Like my brother Lonzo.
Yeah.
You know, bring up the children right.
Yeah.
Everybody's not going to come into the Reformed faith who are Christians.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
For whatever reason, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Because if we were God, we'd say everybody would be Reformed. Everybody would come into you. You might say, you don't know the truth. But however that God worked that out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's not.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. But that does not give them or anyone an excuse not to walk to the fullest of what you
Amen.
Know.
Amen.
Am I in the right place?
Yes. Amen.
You don't get to skimp. My dad was dedicated. Even though his knowledge wasn't all right, sometimes that dude would be up all night studying the scriptures.
Yes.
All night long. Literally all night long.
Yes,
indeed. I go to bed. He's sitting at the table. We had an oval wooden table in the living room, which was the dining area part. He had a fluorescent lamp with a flexible neck. Had it bent over scriptures. He had a magnifying glass. Mother still got the magnifying glass. And he had a head of red and green colored pens and a whole bunch of paper and his Bible. And I would go to bed 10, 9, 10, wake up at 5, 6 in the morning. He's still at the table studying scripture. You may say, oh, this extreme and something other. Just ignore all that. I'm just saying he studied the scriptures.
Yeah. Amen.
That's the point I want you to make. He wasn't out there trying to do nothing crazy.
Yeah.
He loved his wife, my mother, and he loved his children.
Yes.
There's enough power in the word of God to be a good person.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
To be godly according to the word of God. You don't have to be crazy just because you don't have the full Reformed truth.
Amen.
And there are people who are Reformed living worse lives than my dad or Elder Kai or Lonzo or some of these others are.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
Yes. Yeah.
Real talk.
Because
The bottom line is you got to walk this thing out.
Amen.
It's not about what you know per se. Yes, it is in a sense what you know, because you do what you know.
Yeah.
But you can't just go around and say, well, I know and I know and I know. Do you realize we have greater responsibility than my dad and all the others ever had?
Amen.
Because unto whom much is given and much has been given us, much is required.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something else, word of life. You all are not allowed to get away with things that folks with less knowledge are allowed to get away with.
Yeah.
If you realize, if you just think about your thoughts and your words, your actions, you get barbecued over just what seems like a smaller thing. And God is like, no, that's right. You're being held, I won't say to a higher standard per se, because the standard is the word of God, but your margin of error, that may, that's a better way of saying it, is a lot slimmer.
Yeah.
You just not going to. Somebody else who don't know as much, they might be able to get, well, look at this dude. He getting away with this, that, and the other. He still walk around there, you know, and I do. I mean, I couldn't believe it. You have, it's Christmas time. It's 9,478,182 people on Telegraph. April? It's five lanes wide. How the how the police gonna pick me out of 9,478,682 cars and give me a ticket? You talking about God showing out? You ain't gonna, you not supposed to speed. Yeah. That's just how that is. You ain't supposed to speed. They can speed, but you can't. And that's what I pointed to about razor thin. We have a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, we do. Thank you, Lord.
And our margin of error is slim. We might just get used to it. No discipline for the present seems joyous, but what?
Grievous.
Yeah, so when you're whipping you, and we're going to get a little bit more whippings than the other. But our light is supposed to be brighter.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We need to be prepared. Because you don't know when somebody going to come out and say, well, what about the funeral thing? What about the black people in the slave thing? No. We are to be prepared and stay locked in and be able to bring truth where there is error.
Amen.
That's what all these questions and answers are about. Amen. Let's get back to the lesson. So we're talking about, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. Now, there's another thing that they say, and they're still under the same, was worshiping the same God and so forth. Another thing is, concerning us worshiping the same God and all just getting along. I call it the Rodney King anointing. Am I right, Papa? Can we all just get along? You know, I saw that live. I saw that live on NBC when he said, "We'll get ready." Because I was, I'm a little older now. In 68, I was just 8-9 years old when the riots happened in Detroit. But when the Rodney King riots happened, we watching. NBC broke in and put the microphone up there live, and there was Rodney King. Rodney King said, "Can we all just get along?" And that lets us know. The world wants what God wants us to have. But they just, I know you heard it 100 times, but we don't want it God's way. We want what he wants us to have, but not his way. Yes, because in eternity, we all want to get along forever.
Yes.
But the thing about it right now, no, we're not going to just all get along per se. Because there's error, and there are things that are grievous errors. And when you deny Jesus, that's a grievous, heinous error. What's the H word? I forgot the word. When it'll come to me. Heresy. Yeah, that's just you're calling God a liar. You're calling Jesus a liar, and also the Holy Spirit. We don't want any parts of that.
Amen.
So concerning about just all getting along, and we all worship the same God. And, they use that old, you heard me use this example before, the way to Detroit. There are many ways to Detroit. 96 go down in there, 94, 75, 696 eventually, some kind of way. And so we just like that, as many ways to God. No, turn them down 14:6. You know this, but that's what you're going to tell them. Say, no, turn it down 14:6. And when you turn it there, do like my dad. My dad sat a chair right next to me, mother, in the basement before he whipped the mess out of me. Because I kept acting crazy. And how does a third grader get put out of jail? I guess I still can't get who gets put out of phys ed, Nicole? Everybody like Jim. I got put out of gym. I'm acting real crazy. So dad just put a chair right next to me. I'm sitting here, dad sitting right on, I'll never be on the right hand side. No, I was on the left hand side, he was over here. I had his Bible open to Proverbs about a good name is better than to be desired than riches. You're going to pull your Bible out, get right next to the person, open up John 14:6. Jesus, who's speaking? Jesus said, Jesus speaking. I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not a truth. I am the light, not a light. And then if you didn't understand all of that, then he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. That exclusivism.
Yes.
Jesus was an exclusivist.
Amen.
And in this all-inclusive, can we all get along society? We told you about the powers that be, the elite rich, want this to be a let's all get along. And when they think like that, there is a discounting of our beliefs concerning the things of God, because they're thinking, well, it's no big deal. Let's all kind of meld them and melt them all into one. Because what you really believe, it really ain't that deep. Come on in, come on with the Buddhists. Come on, you Buddhists, and you come on with the Muslims and so forth. It's not that deep. Let's all get along. But Jesus is the one who is an exclusivist. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
So if you deny Jesus, you can't get to God. Is that what that means?
Yes. Yes.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yes.
Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 verse 4. Verse 4, Ephesians 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. How many ones we got in there? That's exclusive.
Yeah. Amen.
And Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. Look at Acts 4, verse 12. How many times do I keep closing this case? Look at Acts 4, 12. Acts 4:12. Again, this is for somebody who God is moving on. We're not arguing. If a person is steeped in their faith, their belief, whether it's in Quranic Islam, whether it's in the Mormonism faith, Jehovah's Witnesses, whatever it is, we're not arguing. This is for someone who God is moving on. They have their beliefs because that's all they know. Mm-hmm. But there's God is moving. You could just think about even us, our beliefs, which were in Arminianism, you know, that we save people and so forth. God moved on us. We had our beliefs, but he began to minister to us through information, through getting the word to us, and brought us here. I thank God for that.
Amen.
Well, there are many, many, many others that God is going to use us. And I remember how you keep encouraging me. You said, she don't say, hey, dude, but, you know, say, hey, dude, you don't worry about size and numbers, because God is using, that word is going forth through us in all other kind of ways. And that is 100% true.
Amen.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
And because of Al that's been over in California and down in Florida, over in Buffalo, up in Minnesota,
yeah, it's gone forth in prison too.
And in prison, it sure has. Because even with my nephew there, then you think about the ones that he's threaded to, the ones that are in prison, yeah, where he's been. That's why we just obey God.
Amen.
You. I love the one of the preachers, you know, who I use as a mentor. I don't know if it was R.C. Sproul or John MacArthur or whoever. He said, you take care of the depth of the ministry, he'll take care of the breadth.
Mm-hmm.
How it spreads out, it's up to God.
Amen.
Make sure that when you get here, you're getting good, sound, solid theology.
Amen.
That's my responsibility.
Amen.
Sow or sow's the word. You better sow the word. Because then he got something to work with.
Yes.
Yes. He can give increase.
Yes. Yes.
He gives increase how he wants to give increase.
Yes.
Because if you were to, there have been other pastors that have heard Word of Life sermons, whether it be in California, whether it be down in Texas. If you were to bring everyone who's been touched by Word of Life sermons, you wouldn't have, then we'd have to go to a 500 seat arena or more. Because see, the bottom line is obeying God and letting God do what He wants to do with this ministry. Remember, we keep saying this is His baby. He birthed this ministry.
Amen.
And He has certainly taken care of us. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do we got Acts 4:12 yet?
Yeah.
And there is salvation in no one else. King James says, and none other. Mm-hmm. I mean, how clear is that? For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There are no options. Mm-hmm. Jesus is an exclusivist. Remember, in this can we get along society? That's the dominant thing. Realize you're walking into that. Don't say you want more. You're going to come off as a pariah. You're not going to be a favorite. They're going to hate your exclusivistic attitude. They're going to hate it. And then what Jesus tell us? When they hate you, hate me. Because I told them, there's no other name. I am the way. I'm the truth. But thank God we know the truth.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, good. So we're through with that question. Very good. So now you're going to have to do some speaking now, somewhat, before I step in. This is a good question. What would you say to a healthcare worker who must work on Sunday and so never attend a service on the Lord's Day? So a healthcare worker, and I'm going to tell you why I would say that. A healthcare worker. I'm going to go through that right quick, and I got your hand there. Because as one of the pastors who answered it said that the Reformed heritage teaches about on the Lord's Day, except for the necessity of, in cases of mercy, remember when the ox had fallen and Jesus given an example on the Sabbath day and said, you can go help the ox good night, So it was necessary to help the ox who was fallen, that was hurt. So if there's acts of mercy and necessity, then they're saying we should try to find a way. But I want to hear your thing before I say anything else. Yes, sir, Miss Denise.
When you work in healthcare,
there's
no one that you can call off. You can't be off on holidays. You can't be off on that midnight. You can't be off on whatever duty calls it calls.
Right.
You just have to be there. And yeah, it interferes. And some people say, well, you should work somewhere that you can go to church all the time.
It's not that easy.
Try as you might to work your schedule around it. Mm-hmm. It just sometimes falls that way.
Yeah, sure. Amen. So how would you say to encourage somebody like that? What would you do?
It's just for a season. And this too will pass.
Amen. Amen.
I think I would let them know that the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling together. But that does not mean that you're in sin if you don't come on Sunday, but if you make it a priority to come when there's a possibility that you can be there, then you that's what you do.
Yeah.
I think you give God your best.
Amen.
And He knows that you live in this world, and He knows that you have a job, and He knows all that. So.
Yeah, okay. When you have the opportunity.
You give God your best.
Amen.
That means you only come to church on Wednesday nights because that's what you can make. That's what you
do. Yes.
Yeah, you're consistent at that.
Amen.
Amen.
And then as long as you're still studying His word, too, not just going to church.
Mm-hmm.
Do it on your own time as well.
Yeah, so if you can't come during the times, She's right. Make sure you do due diligence to, we got sermons here. We got, you know, make sure you're doing your study. When you can come, make sure you come. But here's the thing. I love that Wednesday night. If you can't come on Sunday, get there on Wednesday.
Right, right.
I'm talking about Saturday.
The important thing is getting the word. I mean,
that's
the word.
That's
what you have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, because we have to remember, coming to church does not make us Christians.
They're not right.
You know,
they're preaching.
We come to church because we are Christians.
Right.
But coming to church don't make it Christians. And does, we don't get cool points, or we don't get cool points from God because we attend.
That's
church.
Exactly.
No, we preacher. Get cool points because we do the Word of God. I mean, you know, that's where the money is. You know?
That's right.
So it's not. I mean, it's not that. So I would tell you, you know, you don't feel bad about it. You know, the Lord has, when He set free, He set free. So, you know, you live in freedom, but at the same time, you make sure you do what you can do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Do what you can do. I mean, we live in a world, and the Lord knows that. You know?
Very good. Good answers. Yes.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It doesn't always have to be Sunday. It can be Wednesday. And many churches have other services. They have church groups. And like we have, Women of the Word, you go where you can have fellowship. You go where you can have the Word. And the other thing is just a person to be encouraged to always talk to the Lord about it.
Man.
He knows your situation. He knows what you cannot do. But pray to Him. Do you want me to be in this position? Is this exactly where you want me to be? Is this the sacrifice you want me to make? And the Lord will always make a way in some kind of way. Yes. Whether He does have a season in your schedule changes, where He has a season where you can attend Wednesdays, or suddenly there becomes a Thursday church group that you find that you can attend.
Right.
These answers are better than what the pastors gave. The Word of Life is about great answers. So let's kind of review. Maybe a season. Healthcare is rotational, things happen, so forth. Yeah, just boom. So then, I love what Nicole said. So if that's the case, do your due diligence. Get into the Word that we've been making for years and years and years. You gotta get into your Word. The thing is, get that Word.
Man.
Don't let not being able to come on Sunday be an excuse to not get into the Word. Great answer. Then do everything you can. Are you giving God your best? When you can come, are you coming? That's a great answer. Are you doing your best to get there? Or are we, because see, the Lord knows what your best is, and you do too, because when you don't come and you can come, you're convicted by it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then you're doing everything by being led by God. You're just open to the Holy Spirit. Is this where you want me to be? Should I even be here?
Yeah.
Bump the money.
Mm-hmm.
Bump what I was trained to do. Do I even need to be here?
Right.
And the Lord is going to lead, guide, and direct you.
Absolutely.
Come on Wednesday. Maybe it's another prayer group. Lord, may move on me to move, do something. But because you're not doing you're not doing what you can do, then he said, I'm not going to move on the pastor to open up another day. You know, we might, because I talked to Sister Amanda, as I was studying this, it made me think about, certain folks, and I thought, maybe I may try to do a Saturday thing. But would they even come? You know, so I need to just be open. Just hold on, Brother Gray. Remember, pump your brakes, Big Daddy. Because if God ain't building this house, that Saturday house, we laboring in vain. So I'm just open to her.
And I think a big thing for us as children of God, as we live this thing out, is that things are not convenient. You know what I'm saying? It's good. It's good that things are not always convenient.
Like
that you have to make a way, that you have to push and go sleepy, or that you have to just make that sacrifice and switch days with somebody and work a day that you really didn't want to work because I want to, try to make it happen the best way I can. And it's good that things are not always just so convenient. So yeah, you could move and do, you can come up here and do a Saturday thing, whatever, but unless the Lord told you to do that,
I receive it. I receive it all day long.
Not only could it not be profitable, it could be actually hurtful for you to do.
Absolutely.
So you want to hear God.
And I'm going to tell you something. One thing I say about Word of Faith, and any of those who go through seminary and so forth, it's always super hard. It's extremely time consuming. I mean, it's like that on purpose. So that it's a literal inconvenience. There's suffering to that. There's a, you know, I mean, just, you know, just think. Absolutely. Just think about this ministry. I mean, could I have been, instead of at Word of Faith, could I have been at Pastor Vogel's church? Forgot the name of it. Now, where Pastor Brooks is now the pastor. There's a Reformed church. I could have been there, come out of there. Had a quote-unquote covering, a person, hey man, what about this? What about that? Nice, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Nope. A Kirk Charismatic. No, it was like, you talking about perseverance, diligence, having to study, you're learning. All this is on, and still got to show up on Sunday with everybody just learned last night. Try to explain that to somebody else. Yes, that's inconvenient. Could God have gotten a more convenient way to do this word of life? Yes. Of course he could. I could have been planted out here from Pastor MacArthur's church or Pastor R.C. Sproul or Bodie Vaca.
Sure.
But that's not how he did it.
Just think,
that's a great answer too.
Just think how many more tears you would have here. You know what I mean?
Man.
You just want to make things convenient. I mean, it's just kind of like the friend, it's kind of almost like the friendly seeker, whatever.
Yes, yeah, the seeker friendly. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like.
Very good.
I mean, that's another way that he could use to, like, separate the wheat from the tares.
Amen. Great answers. Yeah.